40. 1996. It all happened so quickly. That's what people always say, isn't it? Oh God, it all happened so quickly. But it didn't. Not for him. He could remember every agonizing second, every sound, every tiny detail. Her final moments indelibly stamped upon his memory, in glass and bone and blood. He wasn't even supposed to be driving, it wasn't his car. But he was more sober than the rest of the gang, Mitch, Jace, and Kev. To call them mates was stretching it. Really, they were just kids he grew up with. They lived on the same estate, went to the same school, thrown together by circumstance and postcode. This particular night, they were sprawled on a bench on a patch of scrubby grass behind the local spa. Dale, the manager, knew they weren't 18 yet, but he was happy enough to sell them cheap booze. The road curved up here away from the promenade, and the straggly row of fish and chip shops, arcades, run-down cafes and tacky souvenir shops. You could just about see the sea and the pier. They smoked and drank cider, and even though Gabe knew that he should really head home and make a start on his college coursework, he was feeling pleasantly buzzed and hungry. Echoing his thought, Jace suddenly said, "Fuck, I'm starving."
"Me too," Kev slurred.
Mitch jangled his car keys.
"Let's drive down the pier, get some chips, see if there's any fit birds hanging around the arcade."
It was about a mile from the estate to the promenade, walkable, but Mitch had an old Fiesta that he drove everywhere. He was the only one of them who had a car. His uncle had got it cheap from some bloke he met in the pub, and Mitch had done it up with a stereo, neon lights and all sorts of shit that basically screamed, "Pygmy," to passing police cars.
"Come on."
Mitch jumped off the top of the bench and promptly fell flat on his face. Jace and Kev guffawed like wasted hyenas. Mitch rolled over and wiped his chin. He stared at the blood on his fingers and laughed again.
"Man, I'm so fucked."
"Maybe we should walk," Gabe said. He could feel his own buzz waning.
"Fuck that,"
spat Kev. Mitch sat up and seemed to consider. For a minute, Gabe thought he might agree, and if Mitch agreed, the rest would follow, like stone sheep. Instead, he chucked the keys at Gabe. Gabe somehow caught them.
"I don't have a license."
"So? You know how to drive, don't you?"
He did. Mitch had shown him the basics.
"Gabe-o! Gabe-o!"
Kev chanted. Jace just grinned like a loon. He wanted to say no. The weed and the alcohol were wearing off, but he was still over the limit. However, if he didn't drive, Mitch would get behind the wheel, and he was in a far worse state than Gabe.
"Not your problem. Walk away. Go home."
But he couldn't. Because saying no wasn't just about driving the car. If he walked away now, it would be the moment Gabo let them down. The moment Gabo was a fucking pussy. The moment Gabo stopped being one of the gang. He took the keys, sauntered over to the car and climbed in. Jace and Kev piled in the back. Mitch staggered over and collapsed into the passenger seat next to him. As Gabe started the engine, he leaned over and cranked up the stereo that he'd fitted himself. Wires snaking everywhere. The Prodigy pounded out of the speakers, shaking the whole car.
"Fucking yes!"
Kev shouted. Gabe eased the Fiesta out of the spa car park and pulled out onto the road. He ground the gears, forcing it clunkily into third.
"Man, you drive like my nan,"
Jace chortled. Gabe scowled, face flushing. And actually, he thought kangaroo hopping down the road at 20 was probably even more conspicuous than just putting his foot down. He accelerated and whacked the car into fourth, hitting 40, 45, then 50 as they wound down the cliff road. Despite his initial trepidation, it felt good. He cruised along the promenade, the bright lights of the pier drawing closer. To his left, the sun was sinking into the sea, drowning the sky in pink and orange. To his right, rows of shabby B&Bs, a blur of fairy lights, neon and plastic chandeliers. The prodigy screamed about being a fire starter. His foot pressed down a little harder as the chorus came on. And she was there. 1 minute the road was clear. The next, the girl stood in the middle of it. Blonde hair, almost white pale skin. No more than 14. Dressed in a simple yellow sundress and sandals. She turned. Her blue eyes widened. Her mouth made a small, oh, of surprise, as if shocked by the suddenness and finality of their meeting. He saw all of this, even though the moment could only have lasted fractions of a second. And then she was gone, flying through the air and up over the windshield, like a massive gust of wind had lifted her and carried her away. The impact threw him forward. The seatbelt yanked him back, slicing deeply into his chest and shoulder, head slamming against the headrest. He heard the squeal of the brakes, even though he didn't remember hitting them, felt the steering wheel fight against his grip as the car bucked, skidded, and eventually shuddered to a halt.
I've hit her. I've killed her. I've hit her. I've killed her. Oh, fuck. Fuck. Fuck.
He was vaguely aware of screaming and yelling, the car doors opening, Kev and Jace staggering out. He felt someone, Mitch, grab his arm. He remained crouched, frozen over the wheel, heart trying to escape his bruised chest, breath coming in strange small gasps. Mitch turned and sprinted away across the road, disappearing into the side streets. Gabe raised his eyes to the rearview mirror. The girl lay in the road, several feet behind, motionless, her body oddly contorted. He could hear shouting. People emerging from the cafes and bars, drawn by the squeal of brakes, the commotion. A portly man who he recognized as the owner of the Sunday shop had pulled out a chunky mobile phone and was shouting about an ambulance. For the moment, no one was looking at him. All horrified eyes were on the girl.
Come on. Run.
He glanced towards the pier. He could do it. He could still get away. He peeled his hands from the wheel and half fell, half staggered out of the car. He took a step forward and then turned and limped over to the girl. She lay at odd angles in the road. Her eyes were half open, but her face was a mask of blood and a dark shadow had spread beneath her white blonde hair. In one hand she held a shell, remarkably unbroken. He sank to his knees beside her. He could smell rubber, salt and something darker and crueler. He reached for the girl's hand. The fingernails were broken and torn, the knuckles flayed free of skin. Her eyes rolled towards his.
"An ambulance is on its way," he said,
not really knowing whether it was or not.
"It will all be okay."
Even though he could already see it wouldn't, the unnatural angles of her limbs, the blood bubbling at the corners of her mouth. Tears burned at the back of his eyes.
"I'm so sorry."
Her lips moved. Gabe bent his face closer. Her breath was hot and metallic.
"Listen."
She exhaled the word with a fine spray of blood. And even though it was impossible because she must be in terrible pain and possibly dying, it looked like she was trying to smile.
"I can hear the sea.